He is worthy. He is worthy. Come on. Jesus. Woo. Hallelujah. Man. Whew, be seated. Be seated. Well, you heard the first half of my message there. And I'm going to give you the second half right now, and it's going to be powerful. This is our year of one, 2021. And thank you for all of you watching online right now that are joining us from both here and all over the world, and people that will be watching this. We want to welcome you today and thank you for just joining us. It's our 2020. Come on, I got one of you. Come on, thank you, Trey. 2020. Come on, you got to work with me today on this service. Come on, we are in a powerful celebration of two amazing things. 35 years as a church that people, even city leaders, said would never succeed. Said it was a pipe dream. We could never do it. We could never see this kind of a church be built. And 35 years later, here we are. Here we are. Some of those leaders that said that aren't here anymore, but we're here. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. The second thing that's great is it's Pentecost Sunday. And I want to show you today, I really want to show you tying on to that video. And because of this key anniversary, we really wanted to give you a little snapshot from those who have been here for many years. I wanted you to hear kind of the pieces of where we came from, and I'm going to share with you a little bit more, but these things, the Pentecost and the Jubilee and our anniversary, all of this is tied together. I'm going to show you that today, and it's so powerful and prophetic for us. And every year on our anniversary, we recommit our covenant of our hearts to be a part of this house, because a church is a family. The Bible says we're actually members one of another. And so I'm going to go ahead and have the ushers, well, I'm going to share some things with you. I'm going to go ahead and have them hand out for you a ministry covenant, because when you, if you're like, well, I'm already a member, that's okay. Fill that little piece out and the bottom part of that page will tear off and you can keep the top part. But what I want you to, it looks just like this. This little bottom piece here is the part that you do, and then you can keep the top part. And stick it in your Bible or something, because good Christians stick things in their Bibles. So, and keep a hold of that. We're going to come back to that at the end. But today I want to read this passage that happened in the second chapter of Acts when the church was born. On this day, 2,000 and plus years ago, the church was born. And I want to read this passage. I quoted it in the video just a minute ago. Now, when the day of Pentecost, it's Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost, everybody say Pentecost. Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Say one. Hold up your finger. Say one. Come on, this is a celebration service. We're going to work this thing today. It's how many know that it says when they were in one accord in one place, then there came suddenly a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and begin to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this is absolutely powerful, because the Holy Spirit moved and something new was birthed when the people were one. Pentecost happened when the people were one. Do you hear what I'm saying to you today? We can all have our ideas and thoughts, and somebody might be right and somebody else might be wrong, and God won't move on either one until we're one. And I want to see God move. Pentecost, let me just give you a little bit. It comes from a Greek word that actually means 50. That's what it means, 50th actually. And by the way, Pentecost didn't start in Acts chapter 2, but it's an important scripture for it because it was on that particular holiday, that particular feast, that God initiated the church. In fact, Pentecost went way back into the Old Testament. It was one of three feasts that was so important. Out of the seven feasts, God had people remember every year. Three of them were so important that all Hebrew men had to prepare an offering and bring them actually physically to Jerusalem in order to celebrate the feast. The first of these three feasts was called Passover. Passover was when God delivered his people out of Egypt. And he sent his people into a journey toward the promised land. If you remember, there were plagues that came on Egypt, and the last plague was the death angel, and it moved over every house, and the firstborn of every house died, except for those who sacrificed a lamb and put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, and the death angel passed over that house. And it was on Passover that Jesus became the sacrificial lamb and died for our sins on the cross. 50 days after Passover was the next feast. It was the feast, they called it the Feast of Weeks. It was also called the Feast of Harvest. And it culminated in a day called Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. And so on this, and I'm going to get back to this, but what this feast celebrated was the first fruits. Because it happened about this time of year, so people that had started planting their gardens and crops, they began to grow. And it was their first fruits of their harvest. They would bring an offering from that first fruits. That was Pentecost. And then the third feast happened on the other side at the end of the harvest. It was called the Feast of Ingathering or the Feast of Tabernacles. But I want to focus on Pentecost because that's what today is. And it was called the Feast of Weeks because it was actually a week of weeks. It was 7 weeks, which is 49 days. And then the day after 7 weeks was Pentecost, the 50th, right? It was also called the Feast of Harvest because it was when the harvest began to yield its fruit. So when you came to Pentecost, you would come with an offering of your first fruits of God's blessing. And it was on this feast that God appeared to Moses, by the way, and gave him the Ten Commandments. And the nation of Israel was born. It was also on this feast that the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2, and the church was born with a harvest of 3,000 souls in one day. The Pentecost was a huge festival celebrated with eating and drinking and festivities, and everyone was to be involved, and it was the only time in the Bible that God would not allow people to fast. Was on Pentecost. You had to eat. You had to celebrate. So we're going to eat today after church. Amen? Come on. We're going to celebrate. Why was this important? Why was it important to bring this offering and celebrate at the beginning of your harvest when your harvest hadn't even finished yet? Because God is a God of faith. And Pentecost was about, in faith, celebrating what God hadn't done yet, but what you expected him to do. It had to do with expectation. So God always wants us to give and celebrate what he hasn't done yet, but what we expect him to do. That's what today's about. That's why we're celebrating. How many have things that God hasn't done yet, but you're believing for God to do? You start celebrating him like he has done it already. Believe like he's done it already. Give like you already have the financial blessing. And God responds to it. It's Pentecost. That's what Pentecost. So two ideas that prevail in Pentecost are harvest and revelation. So today is significant because today is a day that we're making a decision to align ourselves with a season of God as a church. This is absolutely prophetic today. It's very powerful. It's a destination today that God has put upon us. And I want you to set your expectation today that even before you get home, there's harvest coming for you. Even before you get, we have mislabeled and minimized the idea of harvest to just make it something financial. And it can be financial, but it's so much more than that. The idea of harvest is about the purpose of God. The idea of harvest is about the plan of God. It's about your children. It's about your calling. It's about your career. It includes your peace and your ability to sleep tonight without assistance. Recognize that today in this house on 35 years, we are ushering in a new season. And I want you to know I'm living in expectation because something is coming. Most of the world is looking backward. I'm looking forward. Come on. Pentecost forces you to look forward. Your greatest moments and your most amazing miracles are not behind you. They're in front of you. What God wants to do is in front of you. If you get stuck looking backwards at everything back here that was wrong, is wrong, then you're not ever going to see what God's trying to do with you and where he's trying to take you. Come on, I'm expecting God to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or even imagine according to the power that works in me. That's what Ephesians 3:20 says. Do you remember the show The Price is Right? Not like the old one, like with Bob Barker. You remember Bob? Somebody's like, some of the young generation are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Listen. He would read the name out loud and say, you're the next contestant on The Price is Right. That was my favorite part of the show because you could watch the people's reaction. They started going nuts, right? They would jump, they would scream, ah! And once in a while, I mean, when they would come down to the front, they would cry, they would hug people they didn't know. They hadn't even won yet. They hadn't won anything yet. But they had expectation. When they call their name, God's calling your name today. You need to respond like the price is right. That's how you were supposed to celebrate at Pentecost. You were supposed to scream. You're supposed to go nuts. You were supposed to celebrate, dance. That's how it happened. Listen, all that energy was connected to expectation. Can you imagine what would happen if we came to the house of God with the kind of expectation they had at The Price is Right? Can you imagine? I don't have anything in my hand yet, but I heard my name. I've got some expectation. That's a whole sermon by itself. I got to keep going because otherwise, I'm not going to get to this main thing. I got to figure out where I'm at. Praise God. I'm reaching into the supernatural realm of heaven every single day. I got to live in expectation. This morning, right here, anything can happen. You are sitting in a house, in a church that has had a vision for 35 years and has seen that anything can happen. And has seen it over and over and over and over. And over, you're in a destiny. You're in something bigger than you are right now. You're in a divine legacy. You're in a divine dynasty in this house. This is something special. It's just not an ordinary place here. And sometimes we get too sophisticated. We get too sarcastic or too critical or too educated. Or we get so theological, we shove God out of the church. We shove the supernatural out of the church. We shove miracles and faith out of the church. But on this anniversary, Pentecost Sunday, I pray, Lord, come possess your church again. Man, I want to see some mighty rushing wind fill the house. I know some of you are sitting like a toad on a log. You're not going to get much, but there's a person three seats next to you that can barely sit on their seat. Come on. Come on. I'm not going to let the firefighters stop me this morning. Amen. I'm glad I'm not in a dead dry church today listening to a boring lecture with 3 points and a poem. Hallelujah. I want to see God move. I want to see what has yet to be revealed. I want to see what has yet to happen. I'm expecting that something is huge, something we've never seen before, something we've never experienced before. It's coming. It's ahead for us. Woo. Come on. Jesus, my God. I can't hardly preach this message. Come on, Jesus. Listen. Whew. That's why do you think the devil fights you so hard? Why do you think he gets you so frustrated? Why do you think he gets you so wounded? Why do you think? Because he wants to stop the Pentecost that God is trying to bring to you. And that's huge. This is now I'm going to tell you why this is so important and why Jubilee as a church is directly tied to Pentecost. I want to show it to you. Because there was a bigger season than Pentecost that was so full of blessing, it would blow you away. You see, this Pentecost, not just this Feast of Pentecost, but this other Pentecost idea, this other 50 idea that was in the Old Testament, was actually not a Pentecost of weeks, it was a Pentecost of years. It was a Pentecost of years. So you see, God set up this plan, and by the way, God's plan is extraordinary compared to ours. In God's plan, every seventh year, you took a whole year of vacation. That was true. You did. And it was a commandment of God. And you had to have enough faith in year six that he would give you enough provision from your work in year six that would sustain you through year seven because you didn't work in year seven. You just chilled out. You celebrated God. You ate. You were, and so this happened every 7 years. They called it 7 year Sabbath, right? In a week. So you hear people talk about the Sabbath. They're remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. And they think, well, that means, well, it's about Saturday of the week. No, there was much more than that. You had to take a whole year every 7 years. And then once you had a period of seven-year Sabbaths, that was 49 years, on that 49th year of the seven, that seventh cycle of 7 years, at the end you took that year off, but you had to take a second year off. On the 50th year, you got 2 years of vacation at that cycle, and God would have to provide enough in the sixth year for 3 years. And that 50th year was called the year of Jubilee. It was the year of Jubilee. This is, you heard my mom talking on the video. She was talking a little bit about that year. That is the identity that God put on this house. It's very important. It's a Pentecost of years. That literally for an entire year, supernaturally you got provided for by God. Not only that, oh, there's so many, I better stay on my notes because I'm going to get ahead of myself. But here's what God showed me. We're celebrating 35 years. 35 years is the fifth cycle of 7 years. You know what five represents in the Bible? Grace. This is a year of grace for Pentecost that's coming on this 35th year as a church. Between now and next year, this time. That's why I said my expectation is so high. 35 is a huge anniversary number, right? It's huge. It's going to be a year of completion and rest and release. Let's come back to this idea of Jubilee for just a second. I'm going to tell you more about it. I got ahead of myself. The word Jubilee comes from the Latin word jubileus, or jubilation, if we were doing it in English, which means to rejoice. Actually, more specifically, it means to shout with joy. That's what it means. Jubilee actually means to shout with joy. Remember the Price is Right illustration. That's what Jubilee means. In the Hebrew language, it's the word Yavel, which means the ram's horn. And the reason why they called it the ram's horn, the Jubilee, is because they would blow the ram's horn to initiate the celebration of the Jubilee year. But there was a related word to Jubilee also used in Hebrew called deror, which means to release or liberate. Now this word, and this is the prophetic thing I have for you today. Are you still with me? Yes, hang tight. You don't have to wait in line at the restaurant today. We're going to have food right out there. So just don't hang tight with me. Now this word Jubilee is used in the context of a very unique experience. Today, you have to understand that Jubilee belongs to you. Not just in a year every 50 years, but as an identity of the heirs of the people of God. If you are a part of this house, there's an identity like no other that is connected to you when you're connected here. Jubilee was a 7-year system that God set up for his people, right? That every 7 years you had to rest and release. It was actually an act of faith because you had to trust God. That's why every seventh day God said rest. He said every 7th year you wanted to rest. Why? He said you need to take your hands off your work and be reminded that it's not your hands that provides for you, but it's God's. We get to be control freaks. I know I am one. And you want to put your hands, you feel like if I don't do this, if I don't follow through this, if I let go of this, if I took a year, I couldn't survive, everything would fall apart. God says, take your hands off and remember that I'm God and you're not. And both of those are good things, amen? Come on. So God just gave all of these principles that they were supposed to do and he didn't explain it much. He just expected his people to obey him. Listen. If God tells you something, don't wait for the explanation. Just do it. All right? Just do it. So God commands the people in the year of Jubilee, let the land lie free. Let it go. Release the land. Then he said, even release the beasts that you have, even the livestock and the cows. Let them roam free for a year. He gives these strange instructions that makes no sense. He says, don't plant anything, don't cultivate anything, just release the land. Take your hands off the work. And then he says, if anybody owes you anything, release them. No matter what, just release them. That's Jubilee. It's so great. Imagine if we were to obey this principle in our lives, how God could turn situations around. There are people owe you $50 and you're still holding on to offense toward them and things like that. Let it go. Let it go. Jubilee has arrived for you today. So what happens is in the year of Jubilee, if you owed things, if you were enslaved, you got to go free. If you owed things, you didn't owe it anymore. Whatever it was that you did, if you had a criminal record, it got erased. You got one Jubilee. Most people in their lifetime got one of these because it only happened every 50 years. If you got one when you were really young, you would get one when you were older, maybe a second one. But most people, you get one Jubilee year. One time, God says you get a clean slate. Doesn't that sound like what Jesus did for us when he saved us? He comes and gives us a clean slate. You see how everything God did tied to Jesus? You see, you get a clean slate. Not only do you get a vacation year, but you get a vacation year and you don't have to worry about any of your debts. You don't have to worry about anything that you've done, mistakes you've made. It gets forgiven in the Jubilee year. And God provides and he gives you a fresh start. So here's what I have for you today. If there's someone that owes you an apology, God says it's Jubilee, release them. Come on, release them. Come on, if somebody holds a grudge against you or you against them, he says in Jubilee, release them. Doesn't make you right or them right, it just means I'm releasing it. It's Jubilee, that means make up, reconcile, love each other. You have to decide, I have nothing against you, and I hold nothing against you. You owe me nothing. I release you. That's Jubilee. That's Jubilee, right? And when you did that, it released a supernatural blessing on you. There were actually 5 blessings that came with it. I'm going to show you in a minute. Jubilee belongs to you. So in order to be in Jubilee, you have to have the faith and conviction that Jubilee is for you. You see, it started way back with a covenant that God made with a man named Abraham. And Israel is made up of the people who descended from Abraham. God called Abraham out of a city called Ur, where they worshiped idols and they worshiped the moon. And God tells Abraham, out of you, I'm going to create a nation, and that nation will ultimately bless all the nations of the world. So whatever blessing I'm giving to Abraham, listen to this, it will eventually extend to you. So Abraham has this miraculous child at 100 years old. His name was Isaac. Isaac then became the seed for the nation of Israel. Isaac then had two sons. Their names were Jacob and Esau. They were twins. Esau was the older one. Jacob was the younger one. Esau was supposed to get the birthright and carry on the legacy as the father of many nations. But it was Jacob who ended up being the prince of God through whom Christ came. It was supposed to be Esau. Now listen, you can actually forfeit your future if you decide you want your present to be your future. That somebody needs to hear that today. You can actually forfeit your future if you get too focused on your present and decide you want your present to be your future. You can forfeit, I'm gonna say it again, that's good. You can forfeit your future if you decide you want your present situation to be your future. If you conclude that your present situation is your future. Esau was hungry. That was his present situation. He asked Jacob for some food in exchange. He ultimately promised to give him his right as firstborn. What a terrible exchange. I know he had been out days. He had been days without food. He felt like he was going to die. But how many of us have a great purpose of God that we change too quickly for something temporal to sustain us? How many of us have a great destiny and future that we'll set aside because we're too worried about what's happening right now? One moment of pleasure can destroy a future of heritage. And Esau did that. He sells out for a bowl of beans. He exchanges his father's legacy. And when you understand how big the legacy was that was on Abraham, that was a huge exchange. That's why the Bible said later Esau was profane. Because he literally did not even think about the value of what he was trading. Now Jacob, he had his own issues. He was a deceiver. He eventually had to run because if you know the whole story, Jacob also deceived his father in order to get the father's first son blessing. So guess what he did? He again took food that he had cooked, put animal hair on his arm because his father was blind and so he could only recognized by touch, and his brother had hairy arms, and so he went in there, took his blinded father as he was coming into the last days of his life. Jacob deceived and took the birthright. Then he lied and deceived and took the blessing. His brother Esau was so angry he wanted to kill Jacob, so Jacob ran for his life. But listen, despite Jacob's failures and problems, God still said, Jacob, the promise I made, I will still keep to you. Now that needs to speak to somebody today because you feel like you've sabotaged God in your life. You feel like you've sabotaged the promises of God in your life. Listen, if Jacob didn't do it, you're not going to do it. He said, the promise I made to your grandfather Abraham is going to continue through you and nations will come out of you. Ultimately, God changed Jacob's name from which meant deceiver to Israel, which meant prince of God. So God chose Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. The 12 sons were known as the sons of Israel because God had changed his name to Israel. That's where the word came from. And each of those sons had children and they became known as tribes, those family groups. And Israel then took on the fatherhood image of the 12 tribes. So today there is still a nation of Israel because the sons of Jacob are still alive today. And many have tried to kill the sons of Israel throughout history. Hitler wanted to kill every Jew on the earth just a few decades ago. He succeeded in killing about 6 million or more in Europe. But listen, you can't kill what God gives life to. You can't kill what God gives life to. If God's speaking life into you, into your life, into your situation, you can't take away what God gives life to. God will give it generationally. And 73 years ago, Israel was reborn as a nation. Through the seed of Abraham, Israel, God said, I'm going to bless the nations. Fast forward to the day when that seed finally broke through in a small town called Bethlehem, because one of the descendants of Abraham was when God intersected and brought Jesus, the Messiah. God, bring forth a son who will ultimately pay for the sin and brokenness of the whole world, breaking the curse and the bondage of sin and releasing us to be who God has called us to be. Messiah is the seed that was promised to Abraham. God says, I'm going to have a people who will father many, and they will be set free, and they will be princes with me. And it will be for them an identity of what this year had been called Jubilee. Galatians 3:26 says this: for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read it again. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Say this. Say, I am a son of God. If you've been born again, giving your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You are a son of God. I am a son of God. Now say it like you mean it. I am a son of God. That's important to know and believe. It's the first step to Jubilee. If you believe that today, if you're born again, if you're not born again, it's okay. You can get in today. If you are born again, you're about to get set up for a blessing. Let's read on. Verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Hold on for a minute. Look at this. Only worldly and worldly-minded people segregate themselves. God doesn't bless people who segregate themselves from one another by superficial things. By the color of skin, which God created, or gender, which God created, or status, which God provided. Men aren't going to get blessed more than the women in this thing. Women aren't going to get blessed above the men in this thing. Come on, God isn't going to extend his favor towards you based on your status. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? God doesn't give preference to where you, based on where you came from or how you were raised. If they're getting blessed and you're not getting blessed, it might be something you need to adjust with God. You hear what I'm saying to you? So it says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, you're all one in Christ Jesus. And look at this, verse 29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That means the Jubilee promise that God gave to Abraham belongs to you if you belong to Christ. I want to show you that this isn't just something for Israel in the Old Testament. This is an identity that we all have as joint heirs with Jesus Christ, as heirs of God. We have it all through him today, and that is the identity of the house that you're sitting in today. Every promise God made to Abraham is yours. That's something to get excited about today. Come on, that's somebody calling your name on The Price is Right. Come on, I want the devil to hear this word coming out of Jubilee today. Say this with me. Close your eyes, raise your hands high, and say this. Say, I am a son of God. Every promise God made to Abraham and his seed are mine. And I claim them right now. Woo! Come on, did you feel that? I want every demon in hell to hear that. Come on. Jubilee is one of the greatest promises given by God to his people. And in Leviticus 25, we read about this blessing given to the children of Abraham through Christ Jesus. It's you and me. Whoever is in Christ is in the promise. I want you to write this statement down if you're writing notes. Faith only works for what I really believe. Faith only works for what I really believe. So I'm going to give you these five extraordinary things and we're done with this message and we're going to celebrate. Leviticus 25 and verse 10. This is the promise that came, would you believe, that God made. In verse 10, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. And each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy to you, and you shall eat its produce from the field. Here's the five blessings that come with jubilee. Number one, liberty. Liberty is proclaimed from every bondage. Whatever is holding you back today, whatever chain, whatever fear, whatever person, whatever situation is holding you back, in the name of Jesus today, because of the promise of jubilee, it's broken and you're free today, including financial bondage and debts. It's broken today. These aren't my words, by the way. These are God's words to you. Number two, first, liberty. Number two, restoration. Everyone shall return to his possession. Things that you have lost are going to be brought back again. And if you really want to take the biblical principle, what the devil stole from you, he has to return seven times above what he stole. That's restoration. Liberty comes, restoration comes. If you really believe it, you're activating your faith for jubilee today. You can start expecting things. Number three, reconciliation. Everyone shall return unto his family. Here's what I want you to hear today. Family and relationships that have been severed are lost, are destroyed. Even spiritual church family things, places that you've been hurt or wounded, God is setting it up to restore you back, to reconcile you back with relationships. If the old ones are lost, there's new ones ahead for you. Reconciliation is coming in jubilee for you today. Come on. Reconciliation. Number four, the fourth blessing of jubilee is this: rest. Some of you needed to hear that. I spoke that word. Some of you, that felt like it went inside of you. Rest is weariness and anxiety that have come from the challenges and labors of this life, that have come from the things around you, the things that beat you down, weigh you down, make you feel, listen, you're looking for hope here, or you're looking for somebody to do something over there. Let it go. Look up. God is coming to bring you rest in this season. God is coming to bring rest, and he's coming to bring peace to you, and peace to your family, and peace to your heart, and peace to your mind. And the fifth blessing of jubilee is this: increase and favor. Increase and favor. Divine increase and favor is going to be upon you. God commands his blessing in 1 year to bring provision for 3 years. His blessing in 1 year brings provision for three years, including this time, jubilee, wherever it's at, it applies to you. It is the increase of God. Whatever you've been able to see happen, whatever blessing you've been able to obtain in a year, God wants to give you three for one. Amen. Come on, say three for one. Increase and favor. Favor with men, favor with God, favor in business, favor in your finances, wisdom to make right decisions, right thinking, able to move forward, even things that have been broken in your life, credit issues and situations that have been broken, God is going to restore and he's going to bring that up, because there is something about God's name. When he puts his name next to your name, it changes your name, and your name becomes more powerful and valuable than it's ever been. That's jubilee. Liberty, restoration, reconciliation, rest, and increase. Those are the five blessings that come when we will look to God and say, God, I release whatever it is. I release that person. I release my husband. I release my wife. I release the person that owes me. I release the person I'm offended against. I release it. You have to obey now. You have to obey to unlock the door, but when you do, the results are liberty, restoration, reconciliation, rest, and increase. Do you hear what I'm saying to you today? So today, when we're getting ready to connect to this house of God, you're connecting to a vision, a huge vision, a Jubilee vision. It's supernaturally, this church was supernaturally named, prophetically named. And if you're a part of this house already, you're blessed, amen? You're blessed, and I am biased. I love my church, but let me tell you something. Regardless, you're blessed. There is no place like this place, I'm just telling you. And every year we renew this covenant to be a part. If you're not a part of this house, guess what? Today, you get to just jump in today. You get to jump in and be a part of, say, I want this house to be my house. I feel like God's calling me here. That's okay. That means there's not other great churches, but there's something unique and special about this house. If God is calling you here, we want you. There's a place you can fill that out. Now we had, you heard on our Jube News earlier about DNA. That's our three Monday membership experience. It really is an experience too, and it's awesome. And you need to get in that so you have a full picture of Jubilee and who it is and what you're a part of. And normally we walk through that process for membership. Today you can just jump in. And I still want you to do DNA, but you can jump in today and be a part of this. It's your season of Jubilee. When you step into Christ and his purpose, let me tell you something. The decree of Jubilee is already declared over you, and its fulfillment is Christ. Its fulfillment is Christ. So this is a huge thing. So Jubilee was a Pentecost of years. And on this Sunday, what a powerful Sunday. Because it was on this day that God poured out of the Holy Spirit. How many know you can't do anything without the Holy Spirit? And God poured out the Holy Spirit. So I want you to know everything you do here is an act of faith. And you don't have to stay here long to know it's not a perfect place. It's full of people. My goodness, I'm here. Just that alone makes it not a perfect place. But let me tell you something. God's here, so it's great even though it's not perfect. It's something great to celebrate. It's a part of it. Listen, God wants you to be connected to it. And I know there's some of you that are watching online. And I am so sorry that I did not properly get the instructions for the online form. But there is, if you go on our website, I believe there is an online form that you can do this very thing right now, even if you're watching online with us today. And maybe you couldn't be here in person. And if not, you can swing by here during the week. We'll have some of these available and you can jump in. And God is going to do something amazing. And so what I want to do right now is I want us to come together and we're going to step into something. You see, when you covenant with something that's in the purposes of God, and when that something is prophetically established and grown over 35 years, and we've seen the power and miracles of God, and when that something is connected to you because you're being obedient and God says, I want you to be involved in this, you know what happens? You're opening the door for Jubilee over yourself and over your family today. You're like, well, that's a bold thing to say. Yep, it is, and it's a true thing too, and it's a biblical thing. And so what we're going to do is we're going to come make this statement of our hearts together. And then I want you to leave this little card. This is just, this card, by the way, a paper or a card doesn't really make you a member. It's an action of your heart. All you're saying by putting your name on this little card here is you're saying, I want to represent on paper a decision that I made in my heart. Right? Papers can come and go. But we keep these papers. Every year, we keep these papers that you're a part of. On the back of those papers, if there's a place that you think if information has changed recently or we don't have the information for you, you can fill out on the back part of this as well. Those those little information about you so that we can have that and make sure that our records are updated and make sure that all of those things are, all of your information is correct. Because it's important that in this time that we know where you live. Amen. We're not going to come hunt you down or anything, don't worry, but we want to know where you live. We want to know how to get in touch with you, and we want you to know how to get in touch with us, because we're family and that's who we are. So I'm going to give you just a moment to fill those out. If you're new with us today or you're not a member here, maybe you're a guest with us and you want to pray about it, that's okay. You can take it with you. You can still join in the celebration. Amen. It's part of Pentecost. Everybody celebrates. That's what we do. But if you feel like God is plugging you into this house and this family, I want you to do that together right now. And we're going to stand up in just a moment. Today, I feel an expectation in this house. It came at the beginning of this message. I believe God is saying something, doing something, pushing us somewhere where we've never been before. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on, if that's you, I want you to take this little piece of paper here in your hand, and I want you to bring this other piece with you up to the front. I'm going to ask everybody to stand up to your feet, and if you would do this with me, please don't leave unless you absolutely have to. I just want, even if you're still praying about this or if you have another home church, that's okay. I still want you part of the celebration. Could I ask everybody to come to the front of this building? Because even if this isn't your local house, if you know Jesus, you're still part of the body of Christ, amen? Amen. We're just a tribe, amen, but the nation of Israel. There were 12 tribes, but one nation, amen? And even if this isn't your tribe, it can still be, it's still your nation, amen? So come and be a part of this with us today. And we're going to put these, I know some of them have already dropped in the bucket. That's fine if you want to drop them in, but I want you to stay up here, and if you want to hold on to it for a second, we can do it at the end too. And we're going to celebrate together. If you're up here, if you would just take two or three steps closer to the front, just so we can have space for everybody and kind of not get too crowded up. Amen. All right. And I'm just going to read this together, and I want you to read it after me, this covenant. And it's just, again, words are just words unless they're in your heart. But I believe there's power in confession. I believe there's power in speaking things. And so I want us to speak this together. Are you ready? Everybody ready? All right. Say this. Say I and state your name. Before Jesus Christ, my Lord, make a covenant to stand with my local church, Jubilee International Ministries, in accordance with the Word of God. I attest my acceptance of our statements, our strategies, and our structure. In doing so, I commit myself to God, to His divine providence, and to the other members of this church. I will protect the unity of the church by acting in love toward other members, by following the leadership, and refusing to gossip. I will not let unwholesome communication come out of my mouth, but I will speak words of faith that will build others up according to their need. I will share the responsibility of my church in my community by praying for our city, by inviting others to attend, and by welcoming those who visit. I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and my talents, by being equipped by my pastors to serve, and by developing a servant's heart. I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully by giving regularly and by living a godly life. I will follow the voice of the Lord and the leaders He delegated to shepherd my life. Together, we will glorify God by reaching the lost, by healing the hurting, and by training men and women to build a multicultural, multi-generational church in the earth, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Let's give a big shout of praise with our hearts together. Come on, just shout it to him. If you're watching online, shout with us right now. Just lift your voices. You're stepping into something today. It's another year of Jubilee. It's a seventh year. Come on. It's something that God is doing. It's an identity that he's put on us today. In Christ, I am the seed of Abraham. I am the Son of God. I am an heir to the promises of God. I haven't done everything right. I'm not perfect, but I still have a promise. Like Jacob, I might have even been deceptive, but I still have a promise. I still have a God who loves me. Oh, thank you, God, for Jubilee. Thank you for Pentecost. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit and his outpouring on our lives. Woo! My God. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to just reach over and just put your hand, just touch somebody's shoulder next to you right now. And we're going to pray. We're getting ready to go outside, but we're going to pray right now. And I want you to pray for the person on either side of you. You may not even know their name. That's okay. Just pray for them. You know their name, call out their name. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, right now. Lord, we pray right now for one another in the body. Lord, you said when we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ, God. So every heavy thing that people in this house have carried, Lord, things, God, that have attacked our culture and our nation, oh God, Lord, we bear one another up. Personal things that we've gone through, sickness, God, losses that we've had, God. Lord, we bear each other up, Lord God. We're a family. This is part of Jubilee today. Lord, we're the Jubilee of God, and Lord, we're together. So God, I pray right now for that person. Lord, I pray, God, that you would strengthen them, that the blessings of Jubilee would be on them today, God, that you would fulfill them every word. You would fulfill every promise today, everything, God, that you've spoken. Lord, that you would fulfill the things, Lord Jesus, that we haven't seen. God, that you would cause them to be blessed, that you would cause them to be free of every bondage, that you would cause them to be fulfilled, that you would cause every relationship to be reconciled, that you would bring increase to them, God, increase in blessing, God. And I'm going to be blessed when I see them increase. I'm going to be blessed when I see you multiply in their life today, oh God. Lord, I pray this right now, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, how many believe it today? You believe that with me today? Woo! Wow. What a joy it is today for my wife Pam and I to lead in this house, along with my brother and sister Tim and Angela, and all of our leadership team, and all of our staff, and all of the people that make this church happen. Thank you. We love it. It is a joy. It is an absolute joy to lead in the house of God and be a part of destiny today. And that's you too. Do you believe that? All right. Hug and high five at least seven people, because it's 7 years. Come on. At least seven people. And then if you want to make your way out this direction, oh, make sure you put these covenants. Make sure if you fill one of these out, there's some buckets up here. Just drop it in. Drop it in for us. And if you go out to your left, to my right, this direction, we're going to have an incredible box picnic lunch today. We're trying to be COVID friendly and individual lunches today. And lots of activities for your kids, for everything. God bless you. Thank you for staying late. Thank you for being a part of what God is doing.